Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the second half hour of our leadership transformation platform. We now go into our leadership interview, and we have as our guest for this segment Candy Tothill from Tsokosan, as well as Funeka Monjane, Chief Executive Personal and Business Banking from Standard Bank. We also have the old man join us, Louis Groeneveld.
Great to be with you.
Excellent. Well, one thing that we didn't say earlier, which we kept as a secret, was that both Candy and Funeka are finalists in the Business Women of the Year Awards, organized by the Business Women's Association. Mm. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Excellent. So maybe just kick things off. What does that mean? I mean, how does one become a finalist? And yeah, how much is at stake?
My sense is that there is a nomination. BWA runs a nomination process, so it is an absolutely bottom-up process. In terms of what it means, I think it's incredibly important. I think we all forget that up until 20, 30 years ago, you know, women were pretty much still and sitting in private spaces. It's still not normal to see a woman leader. Mm. So I commend the work that the Business Women Association does, because what it does is that it aims to give permission to other women, particularly the young ones, mm-hmm. that ultimately these things are possible for all of us.
Okay, great. And Candy, how does it feel to be a finalist? Do you feel like you've won already?
Well, yes, absolutely, I do.
Okay, fantastic.
Initially, it's quite a surprise, and it's a little bit overwhelming, actually, because, you know, you're doing your job and you're working as you do in your career. Mm-hmm. We're not in the entertainment world where we're used to being in the spotlight necessarily. And then suddenly you are given recognition that is public recognition. And my reaction to that was interesting to myself. It was quite a surprise.
Sure.
Because while I was absolutely overjoyed and delighted and very, very pleased, I was also, my immediate reaction was to think, this must be a mistake. Mm-hmm. This can't be for me. Mm-hmm. So it's been a very interesting couple of months from my point of view, where I've had to sort of look within myself and try and understand a few of my own reactions to this very, very nice opportunity.
Yeah.
And the recognition. So that in itself for me has been it's represented growth.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm glad that Mbali is also rejoining us. Thanks for changing your schedule there and being with us again.
No problem.
So maybe let's just circle back to what Funeka said in terms of women leadership and, you know, women being leader or being in leadership positions. I guess this is a perennial question. Why is it still an issue in terms of creating a formidable pipeline? Why can't we have a formidable pipeline of women leaders? Each August we're going to be talking about, you know, we still don't have enough. Where's the bottleneck?
I think we are dealing with systemic issues, which is exactly the same conversation we will have next month when we talk about race transformation in this country. I think 20 years on, we have not done enough, simply because systemically, I think the issue of male privilege and the issue of white privilege is still very strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the reality is that the view of ultimately how opportunities to learn and opportunities to practice are allocated, it still has this bias of what excellence is. Excellence is still very much seen as male and is still very much seen as white.
Well, interesting. You know, I was raised by a single mother who's a very strong woman. And I just fail to understand how is it that a woman can be so strong in nurturing and, you know, mm-hmm. being there for the mm-hmm. family and everything else. But when it comes to a position through which they can drive positive change at a much more broader level, we seem to be stuck,
exactly.
to be getting stuck. Mbali, your thoughts? Is it culture? Is it just because of who we are?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. You know, if you look back on how we were brought up,
We were always reminded that your role is in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We are very scared also to take responsibility and make critical positions. We always, when we are earmarked for certain positions, you always think, can I really do it? Is it meant for me? So we always have that self-doubt. And also working in industries where there's...
But I don't want my 16-month-old daughter hearing that.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I would like to encourage women is that, you know, we hold the bull by its horns and say that, you know, positions are there for women. We don't have to say you need to be a man in order to succeed in positions and make your presence felt. At times that in meetings or, you know, when you have to raise an opinion, you think twice and you self-doubt yourself to mm-hmm. say, oh, do you think my opinion will be really be... of value. Yeah. You need to say it. I see at times, you know, even when you're walking into the boardrooms, you'd probably look at the other people to make sure that they're seated before you are seated. Before anyone makes an opinion, you'll probably be the last, you know, and it's things that happen that we take notice of. But we try to encourage women early that try and tell yourself that, you know, there's also room for you to grow in any industry.
Yes.
I know in mining they always say, yeah, but you know, it's a male-dominated industry and women cannot work underground. They can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been proven that they can actually succeed. I mean, we've got RDOs who are doing very well, better than men mm-hmm. in other positions.
Okay, what is an RDO?
It's a rock drill operator.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Yes. That's one of the most highly skilled jobs you can have.
Yes, it's one of the skills. And at Sibanye, we have, at Sibanye Gold Academy, which I head up, we ensure that whenever we have recruitment or learner intakes in the different learner learning interventions,
uh-huh.
we earmark a certain percentage for women to make sure that women representation is there. And that's where it starts. We don't always have to look at employees in the organization, but we also look at people that are really entering the company. And that's where it starts, in my view.
Okay. Louis, your thoughts about what, you know, has been articulated so far? You know, we've heard about the stumbling blocks, the cultural dimensions, and just where we are. But we obviously need to transcend the status quo.
Alice, I've worked with this a long time. You know, I'm 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my background training is to appreciate attributes of women which often men don't have.
Mm.
So in terms of context, I just want to mention that all the top women leaders I've met reach a stage, though, that they don't really rely on the entitlement as women, but on the actual way they do the job.
Yes.
So they take the bull by the horns, and then they prove, and then the more they treat themselves, the more they show they've got all the attributes necessary. What I'm saying is, be careful for women to rely on the fact that you know, the kind of tunnel vision that we must push women. There's mm-hmm. a place for that, but when the dust settles, it's how you do the job. Mm. And that's what breeds the confidence. I've seen women, mm-hmm. how they get over the macho man business just calmly by doing the job without becoming men in that sense,
yeah.
without being arrogant or aggressive, etc. It's beautiful to see, and I'm telling you, they are incisive, quality people,
mm-hmm.
etc. But they don't rely fully on the fact that we are entitled to be there, because that's a problem we have. The new youth we're seeing in the last session of our three-hour block, you know, with youth leaders, man, it's interesting how they say, please don't saddle us with the burdens of the past. Mm-hmm. We see things in a certain way. Candy mentioned this point very strongly there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying women must understand who they are. It's a case of their self-image mm-hmm. as well. It's very important to understand that everybody must eventually find peace with their self-image, who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from all the experts we have on the show all the time, Ellis, so women must also understand, develop themselves, develop themselves all the time.
There's a question that I'll ask a little earlier, but Funeka,
I completely disagree with that comment.
You're shaking your head here.
No, there's a couple of things that I think are important there.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a question of entitlement.
Yeah.
I think that the numbers speak for themselves. You cannot have 50% of the population. I have a 10-year-old daughter who's as smart as anything, but I know that chances are something is going to happen between the time that she's 10
mm-hmm.
but till the time that she's 27. The reality is that the numbers speak themselves, and they talk that there is something structurally wrong that is dropping off really strong talent in this country. And it is not about this is not about entitlement. This is simply about saying we need to fully utilize all of the resources of the republic. So that's the first thing. And the second thing for me, I have a very big problem with this idea of femininity versus masculinity and whatever. Because femininity is actually just a menu that is a social construct. I'm a human being. All the full attributes are available to me. So sometimes I'm going to, if a situation calls for it, I am going to be nurturing. I am going to be caring. I'm going to listen to it. But if someone messes with me, I will take them out. The reality is that all of that, which is the biggest thing I say to young girls, do not restrict yourself to a menu that is called feminine. Be fully human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just on that point, Funeka, because this is a very interesting part of this show now. What happens, though, in terms of building the pipeline? Because clearly the status quo is such that you have men, you know, occupying these positions where they hold the levers to even start building the pipeline that we want to see of women. Do you believe that, you know, conscientiously, the men who are in those positions have the wherewithal to essentially unlock this pipeline that we're talking about? Yeah. Or it should be the other way around. We need to have those women who have cracked the ceiling be the ones that drive the pipeline. Yeah.
For me, I think it's two things. I want to say, firstly, that we should never question other people's integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that there's someone who wakes up in the morning and say, I am going to close the doors for women and I'm going to close the doors for black people. This is a systemic problem that we've got.
Okay.
So I think it has to be dealt with from two sides. I think we need leaders who are going to be, who are males, who are going to be sponsors, because we have no shortage of pipeline.
Okay.
Every single organization, if you look at junior leader, middle management, it thins out. The pipeline is there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the graduates are female. Yeah. So the pipeline is there, but you need men who are going to sponsor. At Standard Bank, my career was sponsored by an incredible gentleman by the name of Peter Schlebusch,
yes,
who happens to be male and also happens to be white.
Yeah.
On the other side, Mhlekazi, which is very important, is that I think that as women, we must understand that it ain't going to be easy, because it's not a personal thing. It's a systemic issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I love what Shonda Rhimes talks about, this idea of, she was given the, at the Producers Guild Award,
mm-hmm,
she was given an award for being a trailblazer. She says, I'm not a trailblazer. Millions and millions of women came before me.
Mm-hmm.
They smashed themselves against that glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that many of them hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time that I came, the cracks were starting to appear and the wind was starting to come through. What I'm saying is, all of us as women, we gotta keep on smashing ourselves against that glass door. So I think we need enabling male sponsors, but as a woman, put on your big girl's panties and go, keep on smashing yourself against that wall. Not for you, but for the women who come after you.
Okay, amen to that. Candy, you've been listening intently here. What is your thought?
As Funeka was speaking, I began to agree with her, but originally I didn't agree with her, because I actually truly believe that, this is my personal feeling on it, is that if I knew that I was given a position, mm-hmm, because I'm a woman,
yeah,
I would prefer not to have it.
Mm.
Okay. I would like to earn the right to be where I am, which I believe I have done,
mm-hmm,
regardless of whether or not I'm a woman or a white person or a black person or a man. Just because I'm the most capable person or the preferred candidate for the job.
Mm.
Isn't
that just a more idealistic situation?
That is an idealistic situation.
In the sort of systemic way that Funeka is talking about this, you're talking about the fact that structurally,
yeah,
there just isn't movement.
That's not to disagree with the point that she then made about the fact that we must keep pressing on.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Sorgosun, 52% of our workforce is comprised of women. 43% of our executives and general management is comprised of women. 43%, in my opinion, is not half.
Yeah.
So we have to keep pressing on.
Mm.
Albeit that is the case, those figures are significantly higher than the national average,
mm,
which I think sits at around 27%.
Yeah.
So my point is to say, let us have the best person for the job, because ultimately 50% of the people applying for the position are women, just purely based on demographics,
mm,
in the world.
Mm.
Okay. So evaluate people based on their capabilities,
mm,
and their ability to deliver, and also let them achieve what the feeling that they've accomplished something on their own.
Okay, I think your point is clear. Bali, any thoughts?
I just would like to support
I don't want you being run over here.
I would like to support that statement in terms of women being developed, and also that you know, I think in each and every company that I've worked for, in all the interviews that I've attended, I've always said, don't appoint me because of my color and my gender. Mm-hmm. Appoint me because I'm competent in doing my job. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to just make sure that as women in leadership positions, we also allow that room where women are being mentored. Because if I look at in my own personal experience, most males have got mentors. Most males, they engage. We don't play golf, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our own social groups. So with women, we need to have that platform where we mentor other women in terms of other positions. And let's not be scared of engaging with one another, because that's how we grow.
Mm. Okay, Funeka, you wanted to say something?
You know what? I made partnership when I was 27 years old at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Uh-huh. Mm. And many of the people that had been my mentors were overlooked in a way.
Mm. Mm.
And I felt a tremendous amount of guilt and of pain, because those people who had trained me, I felt that they were actually far more ready to be partners than me.
Mm.
But you know what clicked in my mind? Am I an affirmative action appointment? Absolutely. But am I going to do a good job? You better believe it.
Mm.
These things are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it does mean that we have to put people who might not be 100% ready, but they've got an ability to learn and they've got an aptitude that is far higher than other people.
Mm.
I think for me, these things are not mutually. And whenever you have extremes, you know you've lost it. You've got to be both. Ultimately, we're not going to close this gap when we're waiting for people to be absolutely ready, because people don't have an opportunity to practice.
Okay. You know, I think what you're talking to, Funeka, is the context. This is our legacy. You know, there's things we just can't run away from. The issue of race. The issue of gender. I mean, I would agree with you that these two are not, you know, disconnected in that way. Louis, you wanted to say something?
The point is, Alice, that we're yet to hear how they achieved where they come. And there's a slight difference, but yes, there's a commonality as well.
Yeah.
Panika would emphasize certain things perhaps more. I love the way that they fought. And what I'm saying is, leadership is about the ability to fight, to be principled, etc. Whether you emphasize or over-emphasize one aspect of it, that's your choice. But women out there must understand that ultimately they'll be judged by their leadership ability as well. How they get there, well, that can depend on social situations as well.
I think fairly that would be an acceptable sort of notion, that that's what generally women would agree to.
You've got to be good.
I mean, you've got to be good.
You've got to slay.
You know, you couldn't be good and just happen to be black. Okay? Because this is where we are. I mean, it's a social construct we can never run away from. So back to the awards. What is next for you now? Are you supposed to do anything before the big day?
Hope.
I think we just need to carry on doing what we've been doing.
Okay.
My role at Sorgosun is in I've got the good fortune of being able to run part of my portfolio is citizenship.
Uh-huh.
So I run an entrepreneur development program where we support women in running their own businesses.
Yeah, we've had a lot of those here.
And you know, so I'm able to, I suppose, part of being recognized by the Business Women's Association is because of the work that you've been doing to empower women. So for 10 years, we've been running this entrepreneur development program that's grown from strength to strength. And, you know, my intention is to simply use this opportunity that the Business Women Association has given me to further strengthen the platform and make sure that the women who are enrolled in our programs are able to launch themselves off of this this idea that women can succeed regardless of their circumstances and make sure that that I make good use of it and I give a voice to the voiceless, because there's a lot of women out there who most probably are listening to this particular conversation today.
I bet they are.
And it occurs to me that there are a lot of women out there who are actually aspiring to be sitting in this very seat that I'm sitting in, which is a hugely humbling experience. And you know, I just want to say that I take this responsibility very seriously. And the fact that I'm put in a position like this, being a role model to other women, being able to represent something that many, many women aspire to, is something that I do not take lightly, and I intend to ensure that I don't let them down.
Okay, Funia, let me just jump to you. Sorry, Lou. With this award, obviously, I mean, I think these awards are just one aspect of a continuum of your achievements over the years. But just to help us understand, how much are you doing currently to mentor and, you know, to inspire, you know, I don't want to say women, but young people who need to be the future leaders of this country and drive corporations and drive success for everyone?
You know, so, you know, I resonate with what's been said so far around the fact that, you know, that these awards sort of gives you, it's not about yourself. It's just a moment for you to sit and sort of pause and reflect on your journey so far and really think about what bigger contribution you can make. So it's not so much about yourself. It's not even about winning. It's really about a platform for you to contribute in the journey for others, which is the most important thing. So for me, I mean, over the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of things, but in a lot of way, quite local. Local in a sense that Standard Bank's got 20,000, you know, 50,000 staff, and I do a lot of work in that and in my own community, old school, etc. But I think that has made me realize what this has been a game changer for me. It's made me realize that I have a story and I have a voice that needs to be heard, not because of me, but so that it can give permission to others that ultimately, oh, you got to get up and slay, you know, and that these things are ultimately possible.
Fantastic. Louis?
Well, we've had example what these women, that resonates, you see, for me. Candy has sent quite a few, whole dozen or two of the people she's been supporting. They've been supporting out there.
Yeah.
We started a guest house, for instance. I'm telling you, some of them started with nothing.
Yeah.
And they show tremendous courage and tenacity, and slowly you can see it's blooming. But again, without that mentoring, would have been extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, so where next? I mean, I'm just intrigued by one thing as well. If you are a woman, you're in a leadership position, or you're aspiring to be in a leadership position, or you're running your business, at what point do you have to just see yourself as a leader who just happens to be a woman?
Yeah, so it's quite an interesting question. You know, that paradigm is very strange for me because I'm a woman. I've never been a man, you know. That's who I am. I'm a woman, and my full experiences come from that. And therefore, I don't see myself as a, I see myself as a human being who is a woman who wants to be a leader. For me, these things are not mutually exclusive. You gotta do a good job. Those things are not mutually exclusive. But at the end of the day, I can't separate myself as a person versus myself as a leader. If you think about our previous session, that's exactly the problem. Whenever people start to separate their being for them from their work and their core values, they start doing things that are disruptive. And therefore, for me, I think in a way, this new world of leadership away from command and control needs exactly women, because that's something we know how to do, to work around the scenes, to gather everybody around. So what we do need is exactly for women to show up as leaders and as women on a daily basis.
Okay. You know, though, the other thing that worries me about these sort of topics is what you has now become known as PhD, put head down syndrome. Is there a reality to that? Is there truth to that? Candy?
No.
That, in fact, some of the women's worst, you know, nemesis are women.
That is propaganda by guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to ask that.
I disagree. I disagree with that. I mean, these are opinions. Okay. What can one do with opinions?
Okay.
They're not founded in fact.
Can I just get back to Finicky's point there about seeing stuff? We've used the expression, Finicky, that we say that leadership should be your first profession. So forget about being an accountant or whatever the case may be. Start leading. That leadership is such an incredibly new dimension in your life. It should be your first profession. So whether woman or man, learn how to be a good leader. And that sense, suddenly your whole background kicks in, everything around you.
Yeah.
So it should be the first profession.
Yeah, so in a way, I guess for me, I think, you know, as a woman, sometimes you can get quite triggered by that. Because sometimes I think as a black person, when I hear that, you know, we must just show up. It triggers me on a personal level, because I think in a way, at some stage, we're going to get there. But right now, we must recognize that it is still showing up while female. I don't want that being trivialized. Mm-hmm. It is damn hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the world must actually accept that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What I would like to also add is that, you know, men have a strong sense of brotherhood. You know, you have these traditional.
I think that's propaganda.
Okay.
I think that's propaganda. No, please. I'm kidding.
No offense. But I mean, you do.
No,
have
it's a boys' club. I mean, we've heard, we've seen those
boys, gentlemen's. Yes. Where the worst thing for me was
even
was
the vocabulary in business
when I was growing up. Yeah. That there was something called a ladies' bar, and it. Only when I was a little older did I realize the reason there's a ladies' bar is because women aren't allowed in a real bar. Not, you know, but just that. And also country clubs.
Yes, yes.
Women were not allowed to go to country clubs.
Mm.
I think in the US there was just this record-breaking thing. The CEO of IBM became the first woman to be allowed at Augusta or something like that.
So what I do want to mention on the back of that is that while men have all of these brotherhood type of activities, that women have something that I like to refer to as the sisterhood. And more, I want to encourage women to support each other. Mm-hmm. It has been my experience in the workplace that women are reluctant to really, really support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Women need to support each other.
How is it though that
that's
my grandmother could do that? Because our home was always full of women. She ran a sewing school.
So true.
There was always women around before the social networking, you know, as we know it today. But we're going to have to wrap up. Mali, your last word?
Just to support what has been said is that it's also important for women to be given that platform, to be given to raise views or concerns, because in most cases, the issues that we experience in the business are quite personal, and you sort of can't easily relate with another person. So at Sibanye, we do have forums every month or second month facilitated by Gibbs, where we really debate about real issues that happen in the business, and that talks to our women in mining structure, and it goes straight to the executives to say, please be aware in terms of what burning issues are happening in the business, because in most cases the executives are not even aware of what is happening, and that structure really, really, really works.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's been a very lively debate, and I'm grateful for having been part of it. I love the energy. Our guests were Funeka Monjane, Chief Executive, Personal and Business Banking at Standard Bank, and Candy Tothill, General Manager, Corporate Affairs at Toho San, and Bali Makudulela, Vice President, Human Capital Development at Sibanye. The Sibanye Executive Leadership Thought for today: may Wade Van Niekerk's epic performance inspire you to be the best you can be at whatever it is you do, and while you move towards your dreams. Up next is the Business Masterclass.
This is CliffCentral.com.